I've only primarily referred that one case today, which is Financial Management Advisors, which was a 2007 decision of the Ninth Circuit, a panel on which Judge Rawlinson had the honor of sitting in the unanimous majority. The issue here is how to interpret an admittedly ambiguous statement of the policy. I say admittedly ambiguous because even the insurer does not contend that we should read it unambiguously. The foregoing provision we're here discussing.
It's been interpreted by, excuse me, just a minute. It's been interpreted by courts, by state courts.
But no, this provision has never been interpreted by any court in the United States that I can find, Your Honors.
But the term related has.
But the word related doesn't appear in this language, except as a dependent clause for one of six or seven string of things. It's not, the word related is not relevant to this case, Your Honor.
It's not.
I will just point by reading the provision to you.
Oh, okay.
The word, well, related, appears as a dependent clause modified one of six conditions. So we're not talking about anything that's actually been interpreted. We are working by analogy, Your Honor, to Bay Cities, which has been handled by the state court, and then Financial Management Advisors, in which the Ninth Circuit reversed Judge Lugo wide on Bay Cities and said he misunderstood Bay Cities in the same way that we believe the Honorable Judge here misunderstood Bay Cities. So we think the Ninth Circuit precedent is clear in our favor. Let me turn that to you, of course, here to know, Your Honor, while we all refer to what was done below from time to time. This is a de novo decision, not a, any other word. The provision here, Your Honors, is uncontroverted fact number five, taken right from the policy. And let me read it to you, please. It's two sentences long, but it's important. Wrongful act means any negligent act, error, or omission committed by or on behalf of the insurer. A series of negligent acts, errors, or omissions that has as a common connection, tie, or link any, and I emphasize the word any, fact, circumstance, situation, event, transaction, cause or series of related facts, circumstances, situations, events, transactions, or causes will be considered a single wrongful act. That language was not in Bay Cities and was not in any other case before any court. But by analogy, you'll see that the word related does appear, but it appears as a, as one of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 possible things that the same facts could be the same. Any facts, any circumstances, any situations, any events, and then we come to any related facts. That the word related is not actually relevant here, it's used by the courts. So that's the breadth of the clause. If you took that clause literally, one fact will always be the same. Impress will be the insured. Impress will always be the insured in any claim it ever submits to its entire 50-year history with the insurance company, if it has a 50-year history. Am I being pedantic by pointing to that? No, because both Bay Cities and...
To be honest, I don't really know what you're talking about. There, we have a definition of wrongful acts. As I understand it, the question in this case is whether these
let me refer you to that undisputed fact number six, Your Honors, which is the additional undisputed fact. That is undisputed. If you look at Frankheimer's reply, they did not dispute our fact, which points out these were three separate printing projects on different machines, by different personnel, using a different printing process, and different procedures on different days. Further, Your Honors, undisputed fact number nine, which is undisputed, indicates only 40% of the gold boxes were redone, 80% of the silver boxes were redone, and 100% of the trays were redone. And if you look at the Ninth Circuit's reversal of Judge Little, what they said was the following in Financial Management Advisors. And this is on the last page. It was significant to the Bay City's court that the attorney's two acts of malpractice caused a single injury, and that either act would have caused the same injury. That was the holding of the Ninth Circuit 12 years ago. The Bay City's doesn't apply where a different injury occurred. Here, there was a different injury to the silver boxes, only 70% of that. A different injury to the gold boxes, only 40% of that. A different injury to the tray, 100% of that. Different machines, different days.
As far as the company that ordered the material is concerned, they needed all three of these things in order to package their shampoo and go to their trade show. So if one of them hadn't been any good, they'd still have the same problem.
No, because if only 4% of silver boxes were bad, then the injury was only 4%. They could have used 96% of the silver boxes.
Right, but they couldn't have used the insert, so they couldn't have packaged their shampoo.
Your Honor, what you're looking at isn't any part of the policy language. Nothing in the course is written. You are now arguing prior to answer, Your Honor, which is, of course, you're right, because you're making a decision of what is the law now. The prior Ninth Circuit said that the question is not the result. The question is whether the same injury would have resulted.
But time out, though. So let me see if we can get at this in a different way. I mean, you're unsurprisingly focusing on the differences, but the policy asks about the related facts. So there are some things that are related here, right? They were, as Judge Berzon points out, they're all for the same client. They're all for the same trade show. They're for the same overall packaging. That much is, those things are the same for all, what you call three different losses, aren't they?
Three different things, three different days, your word, yes. And the Ninth
But you're not, no,
your
no,
Honor. There it is, I'll be quiet, I'll try again.
Isn't it correct that the things that you refer to as different losses, they all involved one packaging for a single trade show, and the packaging was all part of a single whole. There were parts to it, there were inserts and things like that. It was all part of a single whole. Isn't that right?
No.
It's not right. What's not right about
it?
I didn't ask about purchase orders. I asked about how they were being used. Didn't they relate to a single trade show and all the same set of packaging that was going to be used for the shampoo product for the trade show?
I believe so from the record.
But why isn't that enough? Why aren't those related facts within the meaning of the policy? I mean, there's nothing that says it has to be six related facts or eight related facts or 10 related facts. It just says related facts.
Right, it says one is enough.
Yeah.
And my point is, one is that the impressed was the insured. And that's not me being fancy, Your Honor, because in the Ninth Circuit case, they said a similarity was with the same attorney.
Look, I mean, I get that if you had losses that, you know, one of them happened in 2014 and one of them happened in 2017 and they were for the same customer, you know, that probably wouldn't be enough, but that's not what we're talking about here. So it would be helpful if you could just, again, focus on what we are talking about here rather than on these hypotheticals that really don't have much to do with it.
Sure, let me focus on the Ninth Circuit's language. The Ninth Circuit's language was when the same thing had happened, with the exact same injury happened if any of the three. Remember, this is not my favorite customer yard. So their trade shows are open. But this insurance covered Impress's cost of redoing that's what this insurance was for, and they're not disputing that. So the injury, it doesn't matter what the customer could have been used with the differential. Irrelevant. It doesn't matter if the customer was or wasn't happy. Irrelevant. The question is, would the claim amount have been the same if they only messed up the silver boxes? No.
Would it have been the same if they only mixed up the inserts? Yes.
No. The inserts are only part of the cost. They didn't make the boxes also.
Well, I know they're only part of the cost, but in terms of the client, they didn't have any packaging they could use for their shampoo.
But there's no coverage for the client as false, right?
Well, I understand that, but in terms of what the injury was to what you're covering is the client's, the cost to the printing company of reimbursing the client. So the client's injury does matter because that's what you're covering.
No, it does not reimburse the client.
It reimburses the company for the cost of reimbursing the client.
No, they don't reimburse the client. They deliver to the client the boxes the client wants.
Well, okay, the cost of redoing what the client ordered, right?
Yes, so it's very rare. You can't find any other insurance I don't know that would cover your cost.
All right, since you're extremely focused on the financial management case, what it says is that it was significant that the attorney's 2X of malpractice caused a single injury, and that either act would have caused the same injury. And again, it seems to me here that all of the errors ended up causing a single problem, which is these boxes weren't available.
No, there was no compensation for anyone for the boxes not being available. 96% of the silver boxes were available. They had to reprint 4%. That was done on one day on one machine. The fact that the only claim driver would have a claim for $20,000. They also had a problem with a different machine on a different day with a different crew. When you're in a theater, different machine, different day, different crew for the gold boxes. That caused about $96,000 damage. They had another claim for a different machine on a different day, on different things, the package inserts.
Can I ask
that
a question? I have a question because I don't have it in front of me. There were two invoices, right? Or two
orders.
Were they for different numbers of the three objects, or were they for different objects? What was
different
about them?
With different delivery dates, right?
But what were they for? In other words, what was for the boxes and what was for the inserts?
Yes. On different days. Not on different machines. Done at different times. Only messed up one of them. Different costs. The same injury. The same injury would not occur.
The invoice in the record. Where is the invoice in the record? Can you tell me that?
Our brief list where it is. I apologize, Your Honor. I don't have that in my notes. I'm handed 2ER225.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. You're half out of time, so if you want to reserve a minute.
I'll reserve my 1 minute, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. second time it's different than what they said the first time, then we have to look at the second one, even though your brief keeps repeating the coding error thing.
Okay, so they said it on their motion for summary judgment, but they didn't put on evidence. Paragraph 19 of Jeffrey Bartusik's declaration declares that they told him that, and in response, they didn't provide a declaration by Ms. Chusunian or Mr. Cohn, who said it, saying, I didn't say that. They argued they didn't say that, but they didn't prove that they didn't say that. They didn't put on evidence.
I thought you were saying they didn't put any evidence on that there were actually three errors.
They
put on evidence that they said there was three errors. They put on evidence that there were three errors.
They put on evidence that they characterized it as three errors. Judge Fitzgerald noted that it simply doesn't matter. In his order, he says, in effect, it may be those three things. Remember, they argue that it's three claims because of the color of the box, the color of the box in the insert, and then they argue that it's three claims because there's a foiling issue, a color issue, and a coding issue. And Judge Fitzgerald says, be that as it may, it just doesn't matter. So,
So can you just say what the key similarities are, the related facts or whatever they are that make this one loss?
Of course. Remember that we're not talking about the one loss is a shorthand that we're all using. The policy asks you to figure out whether it's a wrongful act.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question. What are the similarities or related facts that make this one wrongful act?
So you have one customer, Jeunesse Global, that orders one set of packaging. One customer, one set of packaging for one product, shampoo, for one trade show, to be delivered over the course of 4 weeks. All of those things, each of those things is a commonality.
So if it was just the same customer, you're saying it would be enough, since you just said each of those things is a commonality.
You know, Judge Cannelli, I think that the more attenuated it gets, the harder it is to reach that conclusion. And Mr. Brower has set out a parade of horribles of things separated by years and it's both the same insured and the like. In some of those cases, certainly the carrier would be in a difficult position to apply that language under those facts. But Bay Cities and the Supreme Court tells us that ambiguity, where it exists, is context specific. You don't imagine a situation in which the language would be ambiguous. You put your facts in front of you onto the language and you say, is this clear? Here it is very clear under these facts. You have such a collection of commonalities. So the carrier has written its policy so that these cases, these kind of cases in which one can try to fracture it, you have clear guidance. And you don't have clear guidance when something is 3 years apart or what have you. You have to struggle with it, and that sometimes lands in the lap of this court.
Question about here. The purchase orders. I know that nobody seems to know where they are on the record, but do you know what was in Purchase Order 1 and what was in Purchase Order 2?
My recollection, Judge Cannelli, is that there was not a clean break between one and the other. I think it was
meaning what? They were for different numbers of all three related objects or one?
Well, I'm just not sure, but I do.
Oh,
I
yes,
do
it would be nice to know.
Yeah.
All right, but it does seem that Mr. Brower has a point about the fact that if you took this wrongful act definition literally, it would destroy most or much of it. It's not just destroying. What it's doing is making a limit, right? What it's saying is there's one wrongful act. not the language. It's not about the number of losses. It's about the number of negligent acts, errors, or omissions.
A series of negligent acts, errors, or omissions.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Although I was focusing in my questioning on the loss to the customer, that is not what this language talks about.
You're looking at common connections, ties, or links.
I understand that, but we're talking about as to acts, errors, and or omissions, not losses.
Right. That's right. But the if any fact in the omission, any circumstance, any situation, any event, any transaction, this is one transaction, any cause, any series of related facts, all of those things get you capped out at one policy limit. That's it. This claim was paid. It was paid 100% within 30 days of demonstrating the loss. Remember the Bay Cities language that says we need not, however, belabor the question of whether related is ambiguous in the abstract or in some hypothetical circumstance. That is not the question in this Bay Cities. The proper question is whether the word is ambiguous in the context of this policy and the circumstances of this case. And it's just that this is an overwhelming set of commonalities, an overwhelming set of things that are related to each other. I mean, you could fracture this into more than a million pieces if you say every box and every insert is a different, caused by a different wrongful act, because for a flash second, the machine was just working on this one box for one insert.
But that is what he's saying. He's saying that they were different objects, but they were different acts. Different things went wrong at different times by different people.
And
that is the focus. That is the focus of the exclusion. It is on the acts,
remember,
not on the objects, and not on the injuries.
We're not dealing with an exclusion. We're dealing with a definition, right?
Right. It's a definition.
Which decides how much coverage there is. Judge Kennelly, did you have a question?
Try page 517
of the record.
Yeah. I don't have it up here, but might be where the POs are. Might help answer some of these questions if that's right.
let me remind you that undisputed additional, undisputed fact number six, and that is not disputed by travelers. It was from three different days, three different machines, three different processes, three different crews, three different hours. That is undisputed, and there was a declaration of the president of our client as evidence for that undisputed fact, and that's the record. The only other comment I'll make in my short time, Your Honors, is I would please ask that as you consider this case, you look at financial management advisors, the paragraph that begins, Aislinn contends that the Sprint and Stone claims are logically related under the teaching of A cities. That is the one which says the critical factor.
But the opinion doesn't say what the limits of this are. It says this one's not like Bay Cities, but it doesn't say that if something's in the middle, whether or not that, it doesn't say that Bay Cities is the limit of what the logical relationship means. It doesn't say that's the end of the story. So it's not terribly
helpful. It is for Bay Cities. The seventh, what mattered was if you have one entry or more than one. And because we have different dollar amounts on different claims, this is not like